Be with us as we go through this service and everything we do. Be in accordance with thy will. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Birthdays.
I'm going to cut across here.
Well, I get it, bro.
I don't want any more.
I don't either.
Whose birthday?
Me.
Oh.
That would be a great idea, and if you have a name, well, please let David know. We'll do something about it. I just have one announcement. Your prayer list, I think, is up to date as I could get it. And in addition to that, Sunday, December the 4th, we'll have music, some more music, this time from Harley Cannon. He's the blind musician who was here last December, and he's going to come back again and share with us one more time. So December the 4th, he will be here. And I don't have any other announcements that I remember.
Brother Lynn, I'd like to ask prayer requests for, he's my neighbor in Florida, but he's also our ex-pastor. He retired. It's his son, Greg Cook. They had to shock his heart, and then they had to put him on a vent, and his kidneys quit, and they had to put him on dialysis. And so they need a lot of prayer. His name is Greg Cook.
Okay.
He's in Virginia, right?
What?
They're in Virginia.
Yes,
in Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. Okay. All right. Neighbor's son. How do you respond when you face difficulties, dangers, diseases? What would you do if you were canceled or faced persecution because of your faith in Christ? We've never experienced that here to any great extent. But how would you act? How would you feel? I think we can relate to King David. He underwent a lot of hardships, and he had a lot of enemies, but he chose to praise God and trusted the Lord to deliver him again and again and again. He said in the 18th Psalm, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. What word stands out to you in that prayer, in that passage? It might be strength, or it might be rock, or it might be fortress, or deliverer, or shield, or horn of salvation, or stronghold. Any one of those are strong terms, and they're good and they're helpful. But the one word in that passage that's hiding in plain sight might be the most preeminent word in that passage. And the word is my. My rock, my stronghold, my fortress. This is personal for David. And it's personal for each one of us as well. Jesus is the true rock. My rock. Your rock. It's personal for each one of us. Don't forget that what Jesus did at the cross was for you. It was personal. He's your deliverer. He's your savior. He gave up his body, represented by the blood in the communion, by the bread in the communion. And he shed his blood, represented by the cup, to give us eternal life. And so when we come to the Lord's table, it's a very personal matter. Yeah.
There is a fountain.
1 month and even another. Lord, we realize this is the beginning of the holiday season, and we look to help people in the community that needs your help. And Lord, we also want to thank you for your son Jesus and what he means to us. And we realize that if it wasn't for him and the sacrifice that was made, that we would be just lost in darkness. And Lord, we partake of this bread, which represents the body, and the cup, which represents the blood shed. And we are grateful and forever grateful for the sacrifice that was made. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear Lord God, again, thank you for this glorious day you've blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you provide us with. Thank you for each and every blessing that you give us. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used according to swift thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let me ask you to join in singing together hymn number 524. Number 524. It's in here. Number 475 is another song we like to sing this morning. We're marching to Zion. Number 475.
Thank you.
Let's turn to number 445 as we prepare to join in prayer. Just the first verse while we stand together. Our faithful Father in heaven, we celebrate you as our hero, our rescuer, our redeemer, our loving Father, and our Lord. Your word is our guide, and your grace is our salvation, dear Father. We cannot see what lies ahead, but you can. And we trust you to guide us. We've not completely shaken off the ways of the world, but we beg you for forgiveness. You're faithful in every way, and Lord, in a world where things come and go so quickly, we thank you that we can depend on you, for you are the same today, tomorrow, and forever. In this hour, we ask that we may pledge ourselves anew to be your loyal followers on whom you can depend. For we pray in the name of Jesus, who came to make us holy and eternally happy. Amen. I think much of what we do in life is determined by our loyalties. Oftentimes our loyalties shape our decisions, they guide our activities, they give purpose to our lives. Shortly before the collapse of the old Soviet Union, Jerry Whitworth, who had sold military secret codes to the Russians, was convicted of treason against the United States. And in sentencing him, the judge stated that in a time of war, his betrayal could have caused the death of thousands of soldiers and sailors and could have made the difference between victory or defeat for our nation. It's hard for us to imagine how anyone could actually betray our country the way some have done. But there are other ways to betray our country other than giving secrets to the enemy. Another way is simply to forget or ignore the ideals and the principles that made the country great in the first place. Now, I'm afraid that happens in our day. So I hope you'll get out and vote for your principles. Now, I presume even mentioning possibility of disloyalty may bother some of us because we just can't imagine somebody being disloyal to our nation. And that's a good thing. Most of us have what we would call a family loyalty also. Loyalty to our husband or wife or to our children or to our parents. You really need family loyalty to have a happy home. And most young people feel strong loyalty school loyalty. Win or loss, they cheer their teams on. I read about a team called Scarborough High School in Houston, Texas. Good example of school loyalty. I read an article written in October 2013, stating that the Scarborough High football team, the Spartans, had not won a game since 2009. A 44-game losing streak. That would tend to discourage you, wouldn't it? The seniors on the team had never won a high school football game in their whole careers. And in all the games of that season in 2013, their team had been outscored 359-6, which is sort of lopsided. But senior linebacker LeKurtrick Hudson said, "I have friends that say, well, why do you even go to practice? And I tell them, because it's going to make us better." But for a team that hadn't won a game since before the iPad was invented, the Spartans still remained calm and oddly confident, convinced that a win is coming and the losing streak will be broken. Now that is some kind of loyalty. Wouldn't you agree? We have all kinds of loyalties, but there's one loyalty that stands in a class by itself. It's one that can permeate and give meaning to all the other loyalties we have, and that is loyalty to Jesus Christ. Look in the 26th chapter of Matthew. We find ourselves with Jesus and His apostles in Jerusalem in the upper room, celebrating the Passover, eating the Passover meal together. And Jesus makes a statement that gets their attention. In verse 21, Jesus says, while they were eating, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." Now that got their attention. And it created quite a commotion among the disciples. And in the midst of this commotion, then Judas leaves the room, and the meal is over, they sing a Passover hymn, and they leave to go out to the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. And as they walk along, Peter says to Jesus, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Jesus answered and said, "I tell you the truth, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Did you hear the loyalty expressed in Peter's voice? "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." I think those are thrilling words. And his loyalty was contagious. Did you notice Matthew said all the other disciples said the same thing? They pledged their loyalty to Jesus. Now compare that to the times when we come together to worship Jesus, partake of the Lord's Supper. Here, gathered together as Christians, we draw close to the Lord and we feel like saying, "Lord, I would die before I would deny you." But if you read on, you find that Peter failed the loyalty test. In spite of what he said, just a few hours later, after Jesus had been arrested, and Peter is sort of hanging around to see what's going to happen, we see him saying, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this man." Twice he says this about Jesus. And the third time he emphasizes it with a few cuss words. It's the same Peter, but his words are very different. What happened? Well, it looks to me like his environment changed. Peter is now in the midst of the enemies of Jesus. And here among people who want to destroy Jesus, Peter denies him again and again. See, the environment he was in made a difference in his loyalty. What about our loyalty to Jesus? What effect does that have on us? How would we react if our environment changes? You know, if I were to ask young people, what makes you say you would be loyal to Jesus? Some of them might say, well, my parents expect me to be loyal. It would break their hearts if I wasn't. But what if your situation was different and your parents didn't care? What if they didn't care when you came in at night or where you had been or what you'd been doing? Would you still be loyal to Jesus? What if it didn't matter to them where you spend eternity? Would you still be loyal to Jesus? If I were to ask parents, what causes you to say that you'll be loyal to Jesus? And some parents might say, well, my children need the right example. That's certainly true. I've seen people come back to church when they have children for that very reason. That's a wonderful reason. It's wonderful that God blesses you with children and that you want to set the right example. That's a good thing. And it's also your responsibility as a parent. But what if there were no children in your home to follow your example? Would you still be loyal to Jesus? Might ask other people, what causes you to say that you'll be loyal to Jesus? And they would say, well, I appreciate this church and its members. We have fine folks here. And I would agree, 100%. Fine folks, and I don't want them to be disappointed in me. But what if the congregation isn't really what you expect it to be? What if they're all hypocrites? Would you still be loyal to Jesus? What if some of the leaders disappoint you? What if you didn't like the preacher? Would you still be loyal to Jesus? A few years ago, there was an outstanding young student in one of our Bible colleges. He was an excellent speaker, and he was called to minister to a congregation near the college during his student days. And it wasn't long until the church building was filled to overflowing. People were coming to hear him preach, and he continued to preach for that congregation all during his college days. After graduation, he accepted a call to serve a much larger church in another state. And he was there 2 years, and he and his wife decided to go back to a homecoming at the college. Unannounced to anyone, they decided to visit the church he had ministered to during his college years. In the Sunday school classroom where he had taught 30 to 40 young couples, there were only 4 other people present. In the auditorium that could barely hold the crowds when he preached there, he and his wife found only a handful gathered together to worship. And with tears in his eyes, he turned to his wife. He said, I must have failed back there. Somehow people must have only seen me and not the Christ I tried to show them. Why should we be loyal to Jesus? Well, one reason is because he was so loyal to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And he's just as faithful today. Hebrews chapter 7 says, therefore he's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. And 1 John 1:9 says, he's faithful and just. He will forgive our sins. And even on into eternity, the Apostle Paul tells us, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of God, with the trumpet call of God and the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. See, Christ's love for us is constant. It never fluctuates. Everything else may be swept away, but not His love, because it never changes. How about our love and loyalty to Him? See, the real test doesn't come during church services, when we're all sitting here worshiping with other people who love the Lord. Real test comes when we find ourselves with people who care nothing about Christ or the church, when our environment changes. There was a young man from a good Christian family who went to a large college halfway across the country. 4 months later, he came home for Christmas break, and one of the questions his mother asked him was, "Did anyone make fun of you because you're a Christian?" And he hung his head. He said, "You know, I'm not sure anyone knows that I'm a Christian." They'd been there 4 months. Seems to me that within 7 days, people would have some idea, because you'd be going to worship. And where people gather at the Lord's table, remembering Jesus the way He asked us to, every day, regardless of our environment, we can prove our love and our loyalty to Jesus, if He is really our Lord. As you know, there's a little lizard that changes color. You've heard of him. To match his environment. He gets on a tree trunk, he turns brown or gray. Gets in the grass, he looks sort of green. If he gets the edge of blue water, I guess he would blend to that color too. God gives the chameleon the ability to change color to match his environment, but God never intended for His people to be like chameleons. Peter failed the loyalty test in his enemy's courtyard. As you already know, that's not the end of the story. 53 days later, in Jerusalem, on the day of Pentecost, there's a man standing in front of a huge crowd. And he says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And the man is Peter. His words are so different now. Peter's standing fearlessly before the people who killed Jesus, and he has no guarantee that they won't kill him too. But it doesn't matter. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Peter is determined to be true to Him to the very end. And history tells us that he was. What happened? After he denied Jesus, the Bible tells us Peter went out and wept bitterly. He realized his weakness. He saw what he had done, and he bitterly repented. Then he saw the risen Lord on Resurrection Day, and many times before Jesus ascended back into heaven, and he heard the command to go and preach the gospel. And knowing that Jesus is absolutely the living Lord, Peter stood courageously and proclaimed for the very first time God's message of salvation. Great story. Great story. And I think when we too are convinced that Jesus is alive, and when we have really taken Him as Lord of our lives, we'll pass the loyalty test also. Let me close with an old story from World War I. Two brothers volunteered for military service. Went through training together. They crossed the Atlantic on the same transport ship. They went through several battles together. One day, after a particular hard-fought battle in the Argonne Forest, Jack came back to where they had set up camp. He looked for Bill, his brother, but Bill was nowhere to be found. So he asked permission from his commanding officer to go back into the woods and look for Bill, but permission was refused. He pointed out Jack might just be risking his life in vain. But Jack continued to plead. Finally, the officer gave in and gave him permission. Hours later, he made his way back into camp, carrying the lifeless body of his brother. And the officer said, "See, young man, just like I said, wasn't it? You risked your life for nothing." And with tears streaming down his cheeks, Jack said, "No, sir, I didn't risk my life for nothing. When I found Bill, he was still alive. When I bent over to pick him up, he knew me. He said, 'Jack, I knew you would come.'" They were so loyal to one another that only death could separate them. Friends, the Bible says we have a friend who sticks closer than a brother, one from whom even death cannot separate us. And if we're loyal to him, one day we'll walk into eternity with him. He's coming for us. Whether alive or dead, we'll look up someday and with that same assurance, as Jack on the battlefield, we cry out, "Lord, I knew you would come," because he's coming. And I hope you're ready for him, because he could come today. Our invitation hymn is number 298. We'd invite you, if you've not made Jesus Lord of your life, to step out today and make that decision. While we stand and sing just the first and last verses of "Only Trust Him." I want to congratulate you all on setting your clocks back an hour. I didn't see anybody come in when we're ready to leave. And to remind you that today is National Nachos Day, and National Saxophone Day. Yeah? How about Hug a Bear Day? That'll get to you. Well, it's also Zero Tasking Day. Zero Tasking Day, so I guess that means you can go home and take a nap. Let's pray.
Before you close, I just want to make an announcement. If you plan on voting and you live in this camp, there's a vote precinct in the back Sunday school room. Of course, anybody who wants to drive down to the church to vote, you're welcome to do that. Sandy will take care of it.
Okay. I will take care of you.
Thank you. Thank you much. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for allowing us time to consider eternal things. And now as we go our separate ways, bind us still together in the love of Christ. Help us to be loyal to you and reliable to one another, and a blessing to those whose paths we cross. For we ask it all in the steadfast name of Jesus. Amen.
In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Brad.